This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
With some confusion, but please stay and enjoy the way to your good day.
It's a podcast, yeah.
Welcome it's a to podcast, the Friends yeah. Reunion. Do take in this joy infusion. What's on your mind? Let's chat and
hello, welcome to Friends Reunion, a podcast for discerning listeners. I am your host, John Warren, and I am alone this week. We've got some folks on the space station. We've got some folks who are just kind of tired. We got some folks who are busy. It's not our best environment to try to record a brand new episode. So what we decided to do is a selection of clips from other episodes. LB put them together lovingly. I think this is a really great indication of what you can expect from our show each and every week if this is your first time. Just enjoy these clips that we put together. I think they're really, really great. Our first clip is from Michael Bublé Day. It's about his version of Santa Baby.
It's a podcast, yeah.
Anyways, so we start off with Santa Baby Slipper Rolex Under the Tree for me.
Yeah.
He's saying baby, but it's not like a sexy baby. It's hey, Jerry baby. You got me this.
Grab
me a cigar from the big cigar box because we're rich men and we're drinking brandies together and looking at pornography.
That's what the Rat Pack was famous for. They were like, we get together and we look at pornography and our cigar collection.
Sammy
Davis Jr. Let's look at pornography together, Sammy Davis Jr.
He did. They just called them like blue pictures or something.
You got those blue Polaroids from my game?
No, they would get the reels, like, because they had them on, like, they were all on film in those days.
Yeah.
And they had, like, if you were rich, you had your special projector to watch your porn on.
Your porn projector.
And all the fellas would be there just smoking like crazy,
smoking and jacking
50 kinds of cancers, and then you turn on the blue picture and it'd be like some rickety, like, flickery lady taking off a, like, a feather jacket.
Yeah. And then Frank would be like, ooh, Frank would look baby. At someone else and go, this is good pornography, baby. Yeah. So yeah, it's that kind of baby.
Yeah, it's that kind of. Anyways, and he's saying he wants a Rolex because he's immediately saying, like, this is the kind of guy I am.
Right.
Of expensive taste. Yeah. Is it niche? No. It is the most, like, this is what a rich person wants. It's a fucking Rolex. I'm a man. I like man things.
Yeah, like watch.
I want a Rolex.
Oh, it's also I need the commoner to understand that this is an expensive thing. You know what I mean? It's a wide audience.
He can't say, give me a Hublot, right? Because nobody knows what the fuck a Hublot is.
No.
Exactly.
Is that like a fancy watch for
another brand. Virgins, it's a fancy watch for Jay-Z.
Yeah, only a certain kind of YouTube pervert understands that. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So it's not like, there's a few different kinds of watch guys. So yeah. I understand. And then we've got, I've been an awful good guy. And then we actually have a genius annotation here. And I'm going to read this to you. So one contributor noted that according to the myth of Santa Claus, Santa compiles an annual naughty or nice list. And only the good girls and boys get gifts. So thank you.
That's critical for the lore, right? Like you need to have a rich understanding of the historical, the socioeconomical background of the Santa Claus.
This is world building.
But yeah, this is
what we're doing in this first couple lines.
Because normally, right, like this is the part that we don't get. That's what genius is for. This is the part that the songwriters, when they are getting together in the studio, this is what they're talking about. And genius.com kind of surfaces all of that for us, the listener.
So Santa Buddy and Hurry Down the Chimney Tonight. So that's kind of that's a little refrain. He'll keep repeating that throughout the song. Okay, then we get, that's our first Santa Buddy. Yeah. So first it's a Santa Baby. It's a little bit patronizing.
Mm-hmm.
But Santa Buddy, they're on the same level. Mike, Santa, who's at the top of, who's above Santa in that field?
Who's topping Santa? Nobody.
Nobody. Santa is at the top of the game. Nobody can even step to Santa.
No one can step to Santa. No.
Buble is the same way. When it comes to the Christmas game.
Yeah.
Right? The smooth
crooning, right? Like if you want a crooner, right, you're gonna go to Michael. You're gonna call Michael.
It's not even just limited to Christmas, is it? He's just the crooner of the day.
Yeah.
The mall crooner.
Yeah, I mean like once Rick
Caruso's crooner.
Yeah, once Rick lets him out of the cage that he's in. Yeah. That man-sized cage we have in our office, we actually bought it from Rick. That's where Michael used to sleep.
But they got him a nicer Rolex.
Yeah. Yeah. Now. Yeah. It's bedazzled with diamonds.
Yeah. Do you have any comments on these three lines that we haven't gotten into? John, you haven't said a lot about.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to, I don't know. Like I'm trying to put myself in the headspace of like,
for sure.
Of like, okay, if you're sexualizing Santa, you're kind of like, you can do so much. You can hurry down the chimney tonight, and it's like there's kind of something slinky about that.
Yeah,
but for some reason, when it's Santa Buddy and hurry down the chimney tonight, it's like that's got a weird vibe to it.
Yeah,
it's just got a weird like.
So you're talking about the chimney. The chimney is kind of a metaphor here.
I think the chimney is a metaphor, and it's hard to buddify the chimney.
Yeah.
Well,
it's hard to modify the chimney. That's true.
Couldn't you just equally argue that, okay, think about this. What if for those lines, Michael Bublé is being a third person in this scene?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. Well,
okay.
There's a third character here.
Okay.
So there's kind of three characters, right? Okay. You have Michael, right? Uh-huh. And Michael is asking you to slip a Rolex under the tree. That's why he says Santa Baby, right? Okay. But there's a third character. There's a third person.
Okay.
Right?
And who is that?
And that's Rick. And he's saying that he's friends with Santa Claus.
Okay.
That's why Santa Claus gets to go to the Grove and gets to go to the Americana at Brand, right?
Okay. And the third one that's in.
And the third one, that no one's quite sure about. And the Grove of Anaheim.
Not rich enough to go there. There's a Grove in Anaheim?
Yeah. It's called the Grove of Anaheim. Up. Yeah, it's fucked that's up.
Like, can Anaheim just not?
Can they not? You get one thing. You get Disneyland and you don't get anything else. You get Disneyland and the cool train station.
What if they have a fucking baseball team that's called the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim?
Yes. They used
that's
to be
not
called
even the same fucking county.
No, they used to be called the California Angels.
I hate
they
that.
They used to be called the Anaheim Angels.
They used to be called the Anaheim Angels.
And then they switched it to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Artie Martin.
We don't claim them.
No.
To me, listen, you can keep going with your Rick theory, okay?
Yeah.
I want to know about that. But for me, I imagine Michael inviting Santa over and he opens the door and Santa's just standing there in a suit, a red suit with a six pack of Labatt Blue. And he's like,
sure,
I'm here, bud. And then Michael Bublé is like,
Santa voice.
That's a good Santa.
Michael Bublé is like, come in, Santa buddy. And then their relationship is weird, though, because come in, Santa buddy, give me everything you have.
Yeah.
Okay, but the thing is, it's like, he is Santa.
Yeah.
It's not like he's just some regular guy. He has magic powers.
Right.
He has an unlimited access to material goods.
Yeah.
But Michael Bublé is rich. Now, here's the thing. Michael Bublé, I would say and argue, is the level of rich that he doesn't ask for stuff. He just would go buy it.
He just gets it.
Oh! Rick Caruso is so much more rich than Michael Bublé that I think Rick Caruso asks people for stuff still. Like, he's gone all the way around.
Like a horseshoe theory.
Yeah, he expects gifts from people. That's how rich he is. Because what the fuck is Michael Bublé going to do with a yacht, right?
Michael Bublé absolutely owns a yacht.
But he bought it. He bought it, though. On it. He bought the yacht. Rick Caruso wants a gifted yacht.
I feel like Michael Bublé would also want a gifted yacht. But I mean, this is what
now
we're
you
doing.
Think now you think Michael Bublé would be willing to go through the labor issues of a platinum mine?
See, here's the thing, though. I think the yacht, the Rolex, the 65 convertible steel blue, I think all of this is incidental. I don't think this is what he wants, actually.
Oh. Okay. So he really wants the hockey tickets.
No, he wants Santa.
Oh.
And like, he can't accept it. And that's why he's so insistent that Santa is his friend. And why he's asking for all of these. Because he knows he wants something from Santa. He knows he wants something that he's not getting.
And
he starts out with Santa baby. And then, and like, immediately says, oh, fuck. I called him baby.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't want intimacy from you. I want a Rolex.
Right.
Yeah.
Buddy, pally.
No, but you're right. LB, you're right, because he overcompensates in the second
verse.
He's
completely overcompensating.
I'll wait up for you. It's not a deal.
Bro, it's chill.
Can you imagine how fucking weird that would be?
I didn't say baby. What? You said baby, didn't you?
The vibes here are so insane. Can you imagine? You're Santa.
Yeah.
You're friendly with Michael Bublé.
Right.
It's kind of a weird thing. Sometimes he calls you baby by accident and then freaks out. But whatever. You know what? It's cool.
It's cool because he's
doing your thing. You have one night a year.
Right.
You work one night a year that you just like do your thing. And you do it for the entire earth.
Yeah.
And you're going from house to house using your magic Santa powers, going down chimneys, leaving presents for people, and then leaving, enjoying a little milk and cookie snack, chomp, 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 delicious. And then you yeet out of there and you go to the next house.
Right.
People don't wait for Santa. It's accepted, and it's like kind of an unspoken rule that you leave Santa space and you don't ask for too much of his time because he's really busy. Michael Bublé is saying, I'm so cool and normal.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I'll be there, man. I'll just stay up.
I'm just up, dude.
We can crack open a cold one with the boys, you and me.
This is early for me,
Santa. I know
you've
got... Yeah, man. I'm an international croon superstar. Like, it's fine. You need a break. That'd be so weird if you're doing that and you're used to just having your own headspace.
Yeah.
Like, I loved working by myself when I would work like a night shift or something in the back, where I'd be like doing, stuff.
You were just getting, you were getting really tired back then.
Right.
I mean, you know, like I would be taking defective products out of the inventory system.
Sure, sure.
It was not fun. It was not interesting or fun, but there's a quiet to working at night by yourself.
Right.
That's like kind of nice.
Yeah.
And like, I think Santa probably really enjoys that. That like, yeah he's right. doing this in the quiet, and it's Christmas, so people, it's extra quiet. I mean, that's like that's a pretty standard Christmas thing, right?
Okay,
that a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
But right.
A creature is stirring, and it's fucking Michael Bublé.
Are you saying that they're having this conversation on Christmas? Because to me, I think this conversation. Yeah, I think this conversation happens on like the 17th or 18th.
Oh, and Santa's calling us?
No. I think Santa's like scouting. Like he's trying to get his routes right. And he's like, fucking, I'm in the neighborhood. I'll just go talk to Michael. I'll see what he's up to.
Fucking Google messed up their algorithm this year, so I gotta reroute.
I've gotta reroute. I'll just go talk to Michael, see what he's up to.
Well, they're friends. They're friendly. I mean, like, I feel like if you're that level
at the holiday, at
New Year's party, they see each other
at Lauren's New Year. Yeah,
they have each other's gamer tag. They'll play. Yeah. They'll play Madden together.
Yeah, they play Madden together.
That makes sense.
No, sorry, they'll play NHL 2K21 together.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, he says, fill my stocking with Canucks.
Canucks ticket. Canucks ticks for kicks.
Yeah.
But like,
and then he says, throw me on the first line.
Okay, which so means that's what
put
that's
me in the game.
Put me in the game, coach. Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Put me in the game. Good God, aren't you, Santa? Make me good at hockey. Santa, buddy, you're fucking God to me. Make me good at hockey. Okay, I'm Michael Bublé.
It gets crazier.
Yeah,
I know.
So, first of all, there's the platinum mine, which happens before the Canucks.
Sure.
He's kind of rolling it back. He's like, I want a platinum mine. That's maybe a little much.
But the yacht and the platinum mine are in the original
song.
So he's got a through line to the original. And he's like, what can I change? And he's like, well, I do want a yacht and a platinum mine's kind of fun, I guess.
Nothing wrong with a platinum mine.
Yeah, I love that he doesn't even stipulate it's like an ethical platinum mine. No, he's like, give me that fucking like Ethiopian platinum mine or whatever. Give me the blood platinum.
Yeah, have you seen Blood Diamond?
Yes.
Yeah, he's like, make me have the kind of South African accent that Leo DiCaprio has. The worst movie ever. Anyway, yeah, this gets weirder.
Okay, because, he wants to be on the first line. He wants to be in the hockey game.
Yes.
Come to my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Mercedes.
What?
I don't know what that means.
What does that mean? Is he saying
a car on my tree?
Or does he want a key on the tree?
I think he wants the keys, the car keys.
On the tree. But so he's asking for two cars.
Okay.
At least two. Yeah. Now, I really do believe in you. Now, let's see if you believe in me in the original, because that's an insane line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. It does. It is in the original.
It is in the original one. Yeah. And he's like, let's see if you believe in me. Boop, boop. And in this one, it's not sung like that. It's just.
No, it's.
Because the thing is, it's like.
It's weird.
Okay. But there's a very different. Thing. There's like two very different things going on
right
in the original version versus this version, right?
Right.
Because Santa Baby, like, and now that I'm looking at the original Santa Baby lyrics and like the platinum mine and all that shit, like this is very much in the tradition of like a diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Of course.
Like,
right.
It's a funny, flirty song about money, but it's also about how I'm not going to be hot forever. And my entire worth is as a sexual being. So please give me a lot of money so I can be secure in my old age.
It's kind of a funny song.
It's really funny.
It's a funny song. Like, the original is funny. This one doesn't have that vibe to me.
But I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Like, has a certain desperation in this version.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's what he really wants.
Right.
He doesn't want all this stuff.
He wants.
He's got all this stuff. He's rich already.
Yeah, he's rich already.
He wants Santa's love. And he just, like, can't admit it.
Can we?
And that's the tragedy. Well, I mean, I guess he.
So he wants a romantic relationship, and Santa wants to keep it platonic.
Right.
I mean,
right?
Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. Santa, I think, just wants clear answers. And Michael Bublé can't.
It's just like being weird about it.
He's being so evasive. Hmm. That's my read, at least. I think.
And then he asks for money.
He asks for money, but sorry, Nikki, you're gonna need to say. You're gonna need to tell us how he asks for money.
He says
what he calls and what he calls Santa in one final desperate ploy to get him to give him money, which like completely changes the tone of this thing to me.
Yeah. He says, Santa Poppy forgot to mention one little thing. Cha-ching. No, I don't mean as a loan, Santa buddy. So hurry down the chimney tonight.
But make sure it's less than 10,000 cash, because then it's more than a gift, and I've got to do taxes and stuff for that. So, hey, Poppy.
It's also really easy to bring over over 10,000 10,000 Canadian dollars into the States. They just kind of don't check.
Yeah. So allegedly. You know that from, okay. Allegedly. I can't get over that he wants Santa to make him good at hockey. Like, that's the funniest part to me. Because in the original...
Because he's trying to prove his masculinity.
Yeah.
To Santa Claus.
Yeah, but he's also like, coming up with elaborate rituals to touch the skin of other men. It's that thing too.
Right. It's just that's never been in Santa's skill set. You know what I mean? It's such like a desperate, like, even in the original, I don't think Barbara she Kruger? Ever asks him like, you know, like, make me really good at karate, Santa. Like, she never says that.
No, she just wants like some stuff.
Does Santa Claus have the ability in A Christmas Carol? Yeah. Does that kid with a cane, does he learn how to walk a cane?
Do you think Santa Claus is a character in
Santa Claus is not a
No, that's what I'm saying. Carol. No, that's what I'm saying. Okay. It's the only Christmas movie, Tiny Tim.
Does he
learn how to walk at the end?
No.
No, because Santa Claus isn't in it.
Right, but I think if
Santa Claus could do that, don't you think I'd be fucking like... doing cartwheels.
That's what I'm
and shit.
Saying. Santa Claus, I don't think, has the ability to alter the human form.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. I know. Like, so why is Michael Bublé begging him to put him on the first line?
Well, maybe is he already good enough?
Ooh, that's
because
a good
he's
question.
Canadian. That's he's racist. Canadian.
Well,
I wasn't saying that.
It's a podcast, yeah.
Do you think Liv Moss has kind of the same timber of like, just go outside and don't be depressed? Is that kind of what you're saying?
No, I'm saying it's like...
Well, now that you said it, John...
Well, I know. That's kind of what I'm worried about. Is Liv Moss kind of like a directive to basically fix your problems with this idea that you can just go out and get Taco Bell?
Because you... It doesn't mean... I don't think it can fix your... It's like, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Well, no. That would imply that Liv Moss is... Yeah, is... But I don't think Liv Moss is a solve for anything.
I think it's just a justification for I want Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I want to.
Same with
Think
Outside the Bun. It's like, I'm not doing what the average Joe is doing. I'm doing a different thing because I fucking want Taco Bell.
But like, if I do like, I don't know, if I do like a cartwheel off the roof and like a double gainer and land in a pool and I emerge and I go, I'm Liv Moss. Y'all wouldn't immediately go, oh, you're eating Taco Bell. But no, you would know that that's true, that I'm Liv Moss in that moment.
Is that what you really, really want to do, though?
Well, I don't know. Well, me personally, yeah. If I could cartwheel off a roof, I'd probably be doing better than I am. But like, I just mean like, there are moments in time where I think someone could say, whether it's ironic or not, and I guess it is ironic if you are aware of the Taco Bell slogan, but like you could say, I'm Liv Moss. And it's just kind of like, yeah, it's a joke and it's about Taco Bell. But I think it can refer to moments of greatness that don't necessarily involve like food or Taco Bell or like alternating feelings of sadness. I don't know.
I think it can describe very reckless behavior, but I think it needs to come from a place that's pure id. I think it needs to come from a place of, I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm doing this.
Okay.
This is a bad idea, but I'm doing this.
So if you cheat on your spouse, it's Liv Moss.
It can be.
It can be. It could be. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep,
what about, okay, all right.
Killing a guy could be Liv Moss.
Okay, killing a guy could be Liv Moss. Cheating on your taxes.
No, that's absolutely Liv Moss.
Okay.
It depends on how you do it.
Oh, wait, then you need to break that down for me.
The desire to cheat on your taxes.
Right.
That's not the urge to do that. It depends on where that urge is coming from. If that's like a, if it's like a logical decision based on like when you plan it out, that's not Liv Moss.
Okay,
you're working on your taxes and you see something and you're like, I'm gonna fucking lie right here. And then you lie, that's Liv Moss.
So, okay, right. If you go to your accountant and you're like, we need to really operate the correct loopholes.
If you
here,
have
blah,
an
blah,
accountant,
blah,
you can't Liv Moss.
You can't Liv Moss. Okay, we are in total agreement there. Okay. Running a red light. Is that Liv Moss?
Depends. It depends on the circumstance.
And it depends on...
Because if you're at a crowded intersection and there are children running across
the street... That's not living loss.
That is not living
loss. That is not living loss.
If you blow a red light on Mulholland and you kind of just bang it and you're like, I'm going to fucking blow this light and keep going.
Okay.
That's living loss, yeah.
Okay. Okay. What about opening someone else's mail?
Depends.
That's a federal crime.
I know, but is that living
opening people, opening Amazon packages that are delivered to you that don't have your name on them, that's living loss. Opening envelopes is not living loss.
Okay. Did I tell you about, okay, all right, let me tell you about a scenario. Let's say
are you telling a story about when you were, when one time you went around and you stole people's mail?
No. Let's say you run a business and there was a business that was there before
you. I already think this is not living moss.
Okay, hold on.
It's very hard to live moss if you're running a business. Wait a
second. Okay, hold on 1 second. And then there's a business that was there before that. And you've lost contact with the people that were at this previous business. You get in the mail a tub full, one of those 3-flavor tubs of popcorn. It is addressed to that previous business. You open it and eat it yourself. Is that living moss?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, then I've done that. I've lived moss before.
Of course that's living moss. That's not even living moss that hard. That's just like... Okay.
Yeah, I think that's just like...
That's like a very passive living moss where you're just like, life dealt you a nice hand.
Okay.
And you enjoyed it.
I just wanted to make sure.
I have two questions. One, I think... Okay, so in this unit that I currently live in, there were two people, a couple, I assume... that has worked in Hollywood before, because every couple of months they get residuals checks. And then at tax time, they get like whatever the residual tax form you get is from like Disney and Fox and Warner Brothers. They all come at the same time. Mm-hmm. And stealing that is nothing. Like, it's useless, absolutely useless to me, right? Like, there's no reason for me to do that. But one time someone dropped off to another person that wasn't me, because then it would be mail fraud. A person dropped off like a box and someone opened it and there was just like protein powder inside. Does it only turn into living moss if the thing that you get from the mail fraud is good?
Yeah.
It's a podcast, yeah.
But yeah, Greg says, just as he's done.
Okay.
Tear it up, John.
Now I fucking hate birds. Good. So
welcome to the club.
I'm there with Nikki now. Nikki, you want to go hunt for a pigeon?
No. I just want to kick one. I've said this before. You have. But like, think about
it. Yeah, it stunned me. It fucking stunned me when you said this on a podcast.
But like, I'm not wrong. Just like, think about how satisfying it would be. You're walking on the street, a pigeon. Which is just a flying rat. They don't have feelings or emotions. They don't matter.
Actually, pigeons are dumb. Rats have a lot more emotions and thoughts than a pigeon does.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So fucking pigeon is on the street. And you're walking down the street and you look at your shoes and you're like, look at these laces. Look at how tight they are. Look at how taut and powerful and strong they are on the top of my foot. And you stop and you see the bird in front of you and you're like, this is the moment. And you plant your left foot, you rotate your right, bring it back, and then you swiftly bring it forward, the laces connecting with the underside of the bird. Mm-hmm. What does that feel like? What is that moment of euphoria like for both you and the bird, right? A lot of people, when I talk about this, they only consider the human's feelings. But I would like to counter that by thinking, how good would it feel for the bird to die at that exact moment, you know? No longer having to consider.
So, John, do you want to start a new podcast?
It's a podcast, yeah.
Do you think Sephiroth would be good at baseball?
Yes.
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 He'd probably be really good at baseball.
I think he'd be super good at baseball.
Like, he would be incredibly good at baseball.
I think he'd hit, like, I don't know, like 90 home runs a year.
Yeah. Easy. He'd be a Babe Ruth style player.
Oh, pitching and batting?
Yeah, he'd be good at pitching. Yeah. He wouldn't even need rest. you know?
Right.
Like you'd be able to, you would be able to fire your entire pitching staff.
So I'm on characterprofile.fandom.com looking at Sephiroth's profile.
And would it does say you have bookmarks.
It does say he is capable of using a two-handed sword with just one hand.
Yeah. Amazing.
Isn't Sephiroth
able to do that though?
Okay, but imagine Sephiroth up to bat.
Sure.
Right. He's in his outfit, his usual look. Yeah. Hair is long. No helmet. He doesn't give a fuck.
Playing it. That organist starts playing like bop 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 ba da ba da ba da ba da ba da. Jordan, actually, could you spend the rest of your afternoon playing One Winged Angel with like a fucking stadium organ? That would be really great.
Just get a MIDI track of One Winged Angel, and then that's good. That's extremely good.
I get to see it. You're right. All right, go continue. I'm so sorry.
Okay, One Winged Angels, they're playing it on the organ. Everyone's going fucking nuts in the stands because everyone knows Sephiroth is the best baseball player.
Yeah.
He takes the bat with his one hand, and the pitcher's like pissing himself. He's so scared because Sephiroth is crazy and might just kill him, you know? And Sephiroth just takes the bat with his one hand and like just hits the baseball, like not trying that hard, and it flies through into space. And everyone goes nuts.
First and only at bat in the major leagues. He makes a baseball disappear.
Okay, it says also here that he is capable of destroying the entire solar system. So I think he could do it. Also, his weaknesses are really good.
What is he weak?
Arrogant and crazy.
Arrogant and crazy? But there have been so many good baseball players I would say were arrogant and crazy. Oh my God.
And the second one is never uses his full potential.
He never uses his full potential. No. So he's been wearing like heavy boots this whole time.
You just gotta let it go. I mean, maybe in the last moments where he's just in his pants and no shirt look is kind of when
he's at his full potential.
Really is at his full potential.
I really want Sephiroth to be a baseball player. If Sephiroth was a baseball player. Okay, if he was a baseball player, do you think it would be okay to use steroids for everybody else?
I mean, I think it's okay for everyone to use steroids anyway.
But
I wish we had Danielle on this one. She would just be losing her mind right now.
Yeah. I guess that's also like another question. And sure. I don't know if I asked this on Sports Middle, but like if someone in the NFL, if there was a college football player who had four arms.
Right. Like four functional arms. Right.
Would they be able to play football?
I mean, you can't compete in sports and be on HRT, so probably not. I don't know.
But that's fucked up,
of
right?
Course it's because fucked you, up. You'll of course, let, super
but,
fucked up.
But they'll let people without arms play.
That's
But if you
true.
Have extra arms, right. you can't play.
Make you think.
What are they hiding?
What are they hiding?
When I was in middle school, there was this kid who used to walk up when we would play baseball in PE. He would hold the baseball bat like a katana, and he would like put the grip part at his hip, and he would swing out like you would pull a sword out of a hilt.
Where is he today? Is he Sephiroth today?
Today he's Sephiroth. I don't know where he is today. Anyway, he only hit the ball one time, but when he did hit the ball, it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
I mean
he was a very bad person. Oh, he was.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Actually,
that
tracks with everything else you said.
That tracks. Yeah, that tracks. Do you think Sephiroth would like bunt and stuff? Like, do you think he would just never?
Oh, he would bunt, but only if he wanted to just like straight up murder the pitcher.
Yeah,
because his bunt would be so powerful, it would just go straight through the pitcher's chest. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that even if it was like a. Because, like, a person is only going to throw the ball at 100 miles an hour, right? Yeah. Right. For Sephiroth, that's nothing.
That's nothing. Okay.
That's nothing. Right? Like he'll hit every single ball.
Yeah, he can move at speed so high it appears he's teleporting.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Is that what they say? That he's not teleporting? He's moving at speed so high that he...
I mean, that's what characterprofile.fandom.com says.
Like Sonic. Mm. Like Sonic doesn't technically teleport.
Okay, right. Okay.
He just runs there really fast.
So one baseball team has Sephiroth. Other baseball team has Sonic.
Sonic isn't going to do anything. He's not going to do anything because like this... Speed and power are two different things, you know?
Yeah, but like he could just hit a little blooper to just like the short left field and he would score.
And then just go around.
He would score every time.
But then no. I guess the game, so that means that the game would never end.
Another question.
Well, he could basically give it up, right? He could be like, okay, we're 20 runs ahead in the eighth. I'm going to basically just like, chill.
But if Sephiroth's on the other team, that no
lead he'll never stop.
No lead is too big.
Yeah.
Ooh. The game is just gonna go on forever.
Wow.
In baseball, I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's up?
Okay, so let's say when you hit a home run, right?
Yeah.
What if you just keep going?
Now,
but you just keep running.
So you round home, and then instead of going to the going to the dugout, you turn left and go to first.
Yeah, you just so do you it again. Going. Are you allowed to do that?
That's against the 13th unwritten rule of baseball. I think that means they get to take your entrails out. It's fucked up. They do it on the field.
Yeah, shit. That's
what happened to Alex Rodriguez this season, which is really weird. Yeah. You can't. Although I now love this idea. Like, I think if you hit it out of the No, fuck that. No matter what, I think the outside world or the stands have to get the ball back into play. Like, I think that should be the rule, is that if you hit the ball way into the bleachers, that ball has to get back into the field. Otherwise, they can just keep running the bases.
That's what cricket is what you're describing.
That is kind of like cricket. It's true.
Is funky baseball.
It is funky baseball. But it's like my version is like the people in the stands are going to have to fight each other. Like, can you imagine like being, on the away team and your team hits a ball into the stands and you just fucking play keep away for an hour. They're You'll like die. Trying to find. Yeah, you would. That it's the most dangerous game now.
this is just John Boyce's 2020 200 whatever, you know.
Yeah, John Boyce is wonderful. He's picked two things to get famous for that no one knows how to pronounce, which I think is great. Yeah, that would be amazing, though. Sonic versus Sephiroth, though. I mean, I guess we'll find out in Smash, but it's not as...
Yeah. But I mean, at baseball,
it's more interesting to figure out which is which.
I just don't think that...
Well, how fast can Sonic go?
How fast can Sonic go? I don't know.
Sonic.
I mean, it's not the
765 miles an hour.
That's not fast.
That's
what sci-fi.stackexchange.com says.
That's not fast.
That's not fast.
The App Store.
You would be able to see something moving 767 miles an hour.
That's the speed of sound.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd be able to see it.
Okay, but that's the speed of Sonic the Hedgehog according to apps.apple.com.
Okay, so Sephiroth, we've already established, can run so fast, he looks like he's teleporting.
So he's faster than Sonic the Hedgehog.
So he's way faster than Sonic.
Way faster.
Wow, this
yeah,
is
he's a he's going, yeah. So it's not even a contest.
He's going in the neighborhood of 186,000 miles per hour. Miles per hour. Yeah. It's the speed of light.
So I think that... So who could even compete with Sephiroth?
Nobody. He's the best baseball player.
It's really too bad that Kofi and John have this cornered because I would love to create Sephiroth in every single sports game now and just try to get this, try to pull the limiter off of the character creator and have Sephiroth compete in every sport. I really want to see that.
It's a podcast, yeah.
It's too late.
Hey, should we go?
No.
Yeah.
We can. I think we can get 10 more minutes out of this one.
Okay. I mean, I was going to run out to get the ships I got to put in my yard for President's Day or whatever.
Your ships?
No. Your what? Ships?
Yeah, ships. I don't know. The Pinta and the Santa
Maria. What are you talking about?
The different presidents.
You stupid. The different presidents. The Pinta, the Nina, the Santa Maria, Obama, the cool boats. Okay, if you had to ship two presidents, which ones would you ship? Go.
I don't.
Sorry, I think the call might have cut out. If you had to ship two presidents, which ones would you ship?
Oh, like Adams and Jefferson? I don't know. Trying to think back to like president stuff I've seen.
Yeah, that's pretty good. John?
Did they have chemistry?
Yeah, they
fought friends. About stuff, right? Yeah, but no, you need some friends. Tension. Didn't they disagree about things, no. though?
I think...
No, John... No, did you say Matt? Who did you say?
I said Adams and Jefferson.
Oh, they didn't like each other.
Yeah, so I shipped that. That would be like...
They all thought that John Adams was a fucking bitch.
Yeah, well, he was. He's like, famously a bitch.
Basically everybody. Basically everybody.
Isn't there like there's a musical about it.
I think I would do...
Hamilton, too.
I would do Theodore Roosevelt and FDR, and I'll tell you why. Not because they're relatives, okay? Not because they're relatives, but because Teddy is such a... okay, listen,
John,
I didn't think about
my
that.
My face hold on. Right now.
Hold on. Let me just tell you why. Take the relation out of it.
Yeah, sure.
No.
Just ignore the fact that they're related.
That's not what I want. What I want is two buddies, like shipping buddies, because he's an outdoorsman. And FDR,
right. And has pulled,
FDR is a blanket-legged disabled man. And like, I just want to see their relationship.
Blanket man?
Yeah, blanket-legged.
Yeah, he's pulling.
Yeah, he has his little blanket on his legs. Listen, I can say these things. You can't, but I can say them because I'm also a blanket leg. But it's like, I want to see them go on little adventures together.
I can't
together.
Believe you ship. There's so few. There's like only a couple of pairs where they're like.
That would have been impossible to do. Like, pick the one. Yeah, well.
And you picked one of the two that you.
Listen, I didn't think about that part of it. I was like, they just happen to have the same last name.
No, that's not how that works.
Listen, I was just thinking about outdoorsmen, and it's just me in any relationship is kind of what I'm talking about. Is people wanting to be like, let's go on hikes, and I'm like, what? Anyway, that's who I would ship. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm trying to figure out who had the shortest presidential term.
The shortest? Well, it's like William McKinley, right?
I would ship James K. Polk and John Tyler. Warren G. Harding was only president for 2 years.
Did he die?
No, he got taken.
Yeah,
of course he died, impeached. John.
I thought we could get impeached, though.
Did someone he die?
Didn't somebody get removed from office?
I don't think any president has been removed from office.
Okay, but somebody got impeached in the olden times, though. Who was that?
Yeah, but I don't think that means anything.
Right.
I know that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, isn't that wild that basically doesn't mean anything? Like, being impeached just basically means, like, he was impeached. Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter. Anyway.
Shortest serving president. Now, what are the odds this gives me the height of the president?
Who's the 100%. Shortest president?
Yeah, who is the shortest president?
Well, I can't. Well, I don't know. Joe Biden, 19 days. Stupid.
Stupid. Okay, it was James
Madison is the shortest president. He was only 5'4".
Damn.
I bet he was a really bad person, though, right?
I would be the shortest if I were president. Wow.
Congrats. You'll never be president, John.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Why? Because I shipped FDR and Roosevelt.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
that's exactly why. They're gonna do. It's gonna take them 15 seconds to do fucking counterintelligence on your fucking vibe, and they're gonna go. This is it. We got him. Take us 20 minutes.
I'm like, please, 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 get rid of my Twitter account. Please, 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 don't listen to my podcast. Please, please, please.
Yeah. William Henry Harrison was president for 31 days.
That's amazing.
And he fucking ate it.
That's amazing.
Fuck. Look at this fucking chump.
I really can't wait. Idiot. I can't wait for the first president who tweeted something like, I'm fucking miserable, Lamau. You know, like... Like, I just love the idea that at some point we will have a president.
We're going to have an online president.
An online president.
That's like a drawing that you've sent.
Yeah, that's a
drawing. They didn't have fucking JPEGs back then. It was 1841.
When did they invent the JPEG?
2007.
Is that real? 2007 is when the JPEG?
No way. No way. No.
To be a JPEG. That's definitely not it. Okay. The first president to be a JPEG.
You're so mean.
The first president to be a JPEG. So it was who? Who was it?
It was Clinton. It was the 92. It was Clinton then.
Yeah, but okay. But was there a JPEG of Clinton before there was a JPEG of like any other previous president?
Oh, the second the JPEG comes out, they're like, we got to get Gerald Ford on one of these JPEGs.
Well, it says George Washington when I Googled it. But
that's right. No, that's official. I think that's correct.
I worry that they're just telling me about the first president was.
No, no way.
A JPEG.
It's a podcast, yeah.
I'm really excited about like just coming into my own Anglophobia.
That's good. I mean, mine is kind of internalized from like history.
from circumstances.
From knowing about the world.
Yeah, from being alive.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that like other people are starting to come around to it.
Yeah, I guess. They seem to be coming around to the wrong points of it, but sure. Yeah.
How do you feel about royal family? You guys got any want to know the hot got any hot goss on the royal family?
William,
do I personally have any hot goss? Prince, do you have any breaking gossip about the royal family?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Prince William only drinks
fans.
Oh, gross. Only drinks
is
warm,
that the vampire?
He only drinks warm tab.
No, he's the like the
and he's like the he's the second
older,
he's in line
the bald
to the throne.
Older brother.
Yeah, he's the one that if Charles croaks, he's next in line.
Who's Charles?
Prince Charles, that old Diana's fucking
he's
husband.
He's the gross.
Which one's the old one? The one that
looks like he drank from the wrong grail 20 years ago.
Yeah. Which one's that? Who's that?
Duke fucking Fitzballium, I think. I don't know his name.
who is the old shitty royal man?
that's not gonna narrow it down for you, Nikki.
I think it's Prince Philip, the one who looks like really fucking.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
the
that's
one
Prince
that looks
Philip.
Like a fucking. Like a like one of those fucking
well, he's 99 years old and probably extremely inbred.
Right.
So
good for him. Yeah. I hope he dies.
Okay. Wow. Once we crested that Challenger selfie hill, we really leaned into it. We just fucking tore the limiter off this thing.
We were doing so good.
To be fair, this is the British royal family who did build their whole. They
look at this fucking.
They're
ghoul.
Just ghouls. Yeah, no, they're ghouls. Like, come on.
Look at this fucking. This isn't a person.
If we can make fun of this man,
this isn't a person.
I know it's fucking salad fingers. I know it's fucking weird.
That's what. Oh my god.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
This dude just looks like Palpatine.
Yeah.
Like this
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
a
yeah.
real guy.
Yeah. This guy looks like the bitter beer face guy, just aged like 48 years.
The caption on this fucking image is incredible. It says I'll put it in here. But it says it's a picture of
Jesus.
It's a picture of Prince Philip and it says Britain's Prince Philip. 97, gives up. Ellipsis.
That's amazing. My first experience with, like, I think anyone in the wild that had kind of like radical beliefs, and they probably aren't even that radical. I was 10 and I was in London, and my parents and I got into this big black cab, and, like, you know, it's like there's a driver and he's got this unbelievably thick Cockney accent, and it was in the year 2000, and the Queen Mum was turning 100 years old. She died when she was 102, but she turned 100, and you know, there's a big celebration in town, and my mom is just, you know, whatever, not the most, like, I don't know, insightful person about things like the monarchy and things like that. And she just asks, like, are you excited about the Queen Mum's 100th birthday? He's just like, the fuck I am. I can't wait till that old bird's dead. And, like, I'm like 10 years old in the back of this cab, and my parents are just, like, politely kind of like acknowledging this conversation. And she's just like, I hate the whole lot of them and stuff like that. And I'm just like, oh,
that rules.
Oh. And then, like, love years later, I'm like, oh, that guy was right the whole time.
The guy was right.
The guy was that right. Rules. Anyway.
I've never seen this woman before in my life.
What woman?
This
what
woman that you just
this
said.
Queen Mom? Queen Mom? Real.
That's Elizabeth's mom. That's Queen Elizabeth's mom.
I've never seen this woman before in my
life. Well, she died in 2002 when you were 7 or 8 or whatever. So that's
probably, oh, I see.
Yeah.
Right after 9/11, huh? Make you think.
Make you think, huh? Make you think.
She did it? What do you mean, make you think?
Make you think. Now chase that. How about that? Just chase that. Yeah, chase it. What do you mean? What do you think? What does that mean?
Just make you think.
Okay. Queen Mom dies.
That's all I'm saying.
Queen Mom dies a year after 9/11. What's the thread there?
What's the connection?
And remember, Nikki, before you answer your question, she was 102 years old. So, like, just like follow the thread and help me out here.
It's not my job to tell people what they should and shouldn't believe.
Okay.
I just present facts to them that they can then use to understand the world a little bit better.
Okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying that you should think about it.
We have such a good run.
We did.
Thanks, Paul.
It's a podcast, yeah.
Wow, what a walk down memory lane. Thanks for hanging out, folks. This has been our very first greatest hits episode of Friends Reunion. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so over at Floppy Dold. If you want to find LB Hunk Tears, you can do so at Hunk Tears. If you want to find Nikki, you can do so at Godsewa. That's Godsewa. If you want to follow Paul, our wonderful producer, you can do so over at Polymio. You can find all of our podcasts. We do a lot of them, and they're all great at podcastnet.org. And if you want to join our Discord, which I highly recommend you do, it's fanbite.casa. We will have a normal episode next week and for the foreseeable future. This was just kind of a weird one. But thanks for hanging in there. And until next time, folks. Take it sleazy.
It's a podcast.
Thank you for the Friends Reunion, clearing up all the confusion. We're glad you stayed and enjoyed.